Life is short, so dig in deep and be swayed by Leah Love's erotic rhetoric.
Erotic Rhetoric with your host, Leah Love, on Jackalope Radio.
So I am here for you. Life is short, dig in deep, and be swayed by Leah Love's erotic rhetoric. Well, hello everybody, my cats and kittens. Welcome to another edition of Erotic Rhetoric. It's me, Leah Love. We have a pretty hot show for you tonight. However, I do want to first address, and I think from time to time it might be a good idea for me to have a segment called Leah Love Has Issues. Obviously, I have a lot of them. But a specific issue that came up this week was I gave out some wrong information, either on my first or second show, I don't remember. I was speaking about a woman who believed that her urethra and her clitoris were the same thing, and I counted down the relevant body parts in a woman's private area from top to bottom, and I reversed the vaginal opening and the urethra. So I think what I initially said was that the urethra was below the vaginal opening, which I know is not the case because I love perineum stimulation, which is the patch of skin on a woman that spans from the bottom of her vaginal opening to her anus. Meanwhile, I had said this information, totally knowing in my head that that was incorrect, but for some reason didn't connect it when I was speaking on the show. And then I did another one of my parties this weekend, and it came up, that conversation. I do like to reuse my sex lessons from party to party, and the discussion came up, and I repeated the following, which is incorrect. So, clitoris, vaginal opening, urethra, perineum, anus, from top to bottom. This is wrong information. I corrected myself immediately at the show, at the party, but this just goes to show that even your resident sexpert, Leah Love, does make mistakes. Therefore, know that I will always try and correct them. So, my listeners, it's actually clitoris, urethra, vaginal opening, perineum, and anus. So, if I don't have the answer, by the way, I will let you know where to get it, or I will get the answer for you. And remember, you can always write me at leah.love.lust@gmail.com. Coming up in about 2 weeks, by the way, I'm going to be answering all of my listener emails, so be sure to look for that episode. I'll announce it when I know it's coming. I just wanted to make sure I collected a bunch of interesting emails, not just from my friends, from people who had some sexual questions or issues, things like that. And of course, some of them are excellent questions, but I had to do a little research, and so I want to be able to answer the questions correctly. I also wanted to mention, earlier this evening, I reconnected with a childhood friend of mine who will hopefully start listening to the show, and she reminded me that when we were younger, and this is like probably end of grammar school, going into middle school, we used to record spoof Dr. Ruth phone calls. First of all, we loved Dr. Ruth. But we made fun of her. But I remember listening to her late at night on the radio and being completely spellbound by her accent and her age and her forthrightness. She was this little old shrimp of a woman, because you would see her on the talk shows, German or whatever she was, talking about clitorises and penises and sex before marriage. And she spoke of it in such a matter-of-fact, non-shameful way. And I'm so very glad that she did that, because I think she was one of my sexual teachers. It wasn't my parents or my mother. But of course, because of her stature and her accent, this made her all the more ripe for our adolescent fodder. So we would concoct these faux phone calls with each other. We would take turns being Dr. Ruth and the caller, and we would record these super ridiculous questions and answers. And honestly, the detailed subject matter escapes me. I'll have to reconnect with my friend again and see if she remembers anything more specific that we covered, because I know we taped them, and I know we saved those tapes for years and years and years and years. And I wouldn't say I'm a pack rat, but I do save specific things, and I'm surprised I didn't save that. So I'm going to have to talk to her a little bit more and see if I can come up with some subject matter. And even later on, in my late night radio listening life, I used to fall asleep to Dr. Drew's Love Line. I was so glad to have his kind of soothing voice, and I was very upset when my local radio station dropped that show. I think it was on from like 11 to 1 or midnight to 2. I loved the sound of Dr. Drew's voice. I hated Adam Carolla. For some reason, he used to really go off on how miserable a town Bakersfield, California is. I've never been there, but I remember that being one thing he would literally harp on. Somebody would call in from Bakersfield, and he'd be like, oh, it's awful in Bakersfield. What is there to do out there? But I do remember that about him. He also did go on a rant one night about plus-size maxi pads. Commercials came out in the 90s at that time around that show, I guess. And he was saying how he never wanted to be thinking about a fat woman's crotch. And now on TV, they had commercials that were making him think about it. That bastard. Honestly, though, I was embarrassed when those products came out as a plus-size woman. Who was the genius who thought up this marketing scheme? Such crap. I had just gotten over buying tampons without embarrassment. Now I was expected to buy pads for fat girls? Ridiculous. So, of course, Adam Carolla jumped all over that. He was a little more mean about it, but he sure was funny, that Adam Carolla. I don't know where his career is now, however. But still, here was another show for me talking about sex very matter-of-factly and also in a very caring way. And I still love Dr. Drew to this very day. So as a result of my masturbation, confessions last week, I had a lot of conversations this week, thankfully, from people who actually listen to the show. I fielded a lot of concerns from women mostly, and I've heard this before in my job, of course. They wonder if they'll be more, or I should say less likely to have orgasms with a partner if they in fact masturbate. And the irony is, folks, studies show that women who masturbate are more likely to have even better and more frequent orgasms with their partners than those who don't. And the reason is women who masturbate know their bodies better. They know how to instruct their partner on what to do, left, right, up, down, harder, softer, whatever. And also, the other concern was that if you masturbated and had orgasms that way, are you kind of culling from a limited pool of orgasms that you could have in your life? And the answer, of course, is no. You can have a million, a trillion, a billion orgasms in your life. Just because you have more with yourself doesn't mean you'll have less with a partner, or means you'll have less in your lifetime. In fact, you'll probably have more, which is good. The more, the better, I say. That'll stop a lot of crankiness. And by the way, masturbating also helps exercise your Kegel muscle, ladies. If you are a woman and don't know your Kegel muscle, I'm going to tell you how to find it, and then I'm going to explain some practical uses for it. So if you want to know how to exercise your Kegel, sit on the toilet when you need to go to the bathroom, when you need to pee, and let out a small stream of urine, but don't empty your bladder. Then stop the flow. The muscle that allows you to stop that flow is called your Kegel muscle. If you release that stream again, then stop the flow again, release, then stop, that's exercising your Kegel. Working that muscle in 3 sets of 10, just sitting in your office chair or home, watching television, on the phone, whatever, helps improve your orgasms, helps prevent incontinence as we grow older, ladies. In other words, it helps women hold in their urine. So when you're 75, you'll be less likely to need an adult diaper. What better reason to exercise your Kegel? This muscle also is very helpful in pushing out a baby vaginally. And it will help you heal after you have the baby as well. And sexually, it's the muscle that helps you have an orgasm. It can help us have elongated orgasm streams, or like a wave-like orgasm, and multiple orgasms. So a strong Kegel can be felt by a partner who has entered you too. So constrict it as he pulls out, loosen as he goes in. It's all very lovely, honestly. Another topic that came up as a result of last week's show was toys versus partner stimulation. So I get questions from women about this all the time, too. They wonder if they're somehow desensitizing themselves from the touch of their partners, whether it's a penis, a tongue, a finger, whatever. I assure you, this does not happen. Our bodies don't work like this. What I can tell you is that anyone having a problem orgasming with their partner, and they're worried that the reason is they're using a toy too much, then just stop using the toy for a week. But it's not like your clitoris has a memory. It's all in your head. So if you lay off the toy for a week, mentally, you'll just kind of clear the palate. And I will tell you this, honestly, this is a true story. I fell asleep with a vibrating bullet on my clitoris, like 10 years ago. I was on a trip. I came home, tried to relax. I woke up 20 minutes later. I said, oh, I'm just going to, I'll masturbate, whatever, and I'll fall asleep. I woke up 20 minutes later at such a height of sensitivity, I thought I was going to have a stroke. I was trying to relax, and I totally felt like I was now on, like, amphetamines. My pupils were dilated. I was, like, sweaty. And the first thought I had was that I broke my clitoris. But anyway, obviously I didn't. I waited, like, 10 minutes, and then I was fine. And I didn't break it. Funny enough, I'm sure I just used the bullet later to great success. So there's my little spiel on masturbation, and you won't ever desensitize yourself. You won't ever limit your amount of orgasms with your partner. And of course, write me at leah.love.lust@gmail.com if you have any questions about that, because I want you to have incredible sex your whole lives. I don't want you to hold back. Oh, also, sexy video of the week. Let me tell you something. You watch the Super Bowl? First of all, I'm a Giants fan. I don't watch football the rest of the year. Totally saw the halftime show. I still love Madonna. I don't care that she lip sync. But MIA, who is I believe a Middle Eastern rapper, but she hails from London. Very sexy girl, by the way. She has a new video out this week or within the last couple of weeks called Bad Girls. So this is the sexy video of the week, people. Muslim women in this video, sexy. What do they wear? Those, I think they're called hijabs or hijabs around their faces to cover themselves. They look sexy. Their eyes look wonderful. Check out this video. Go YouTube it. MIA Bad Girls. Very, very sexy. I also, as you know, love my lists. And I found a very interesting one. And I did not write it. I'm going to present to you the sexual bucket list and its compliments of CafeMom.com, of all places. So I'm going to get Todd in on this, my producer. Todd Sheets, are you there?
I'm here.
Oh, there he is. So I'm going to... there's, I think, 46 of them. So what I'm going to do, Todd, is I'm going to mention what they are, and you tell me if you've done it, and I'm going to put a little initial on my notes if you've done it, and then if I've done it. And at the end, we're going to count up and see how many of the bucket list, sexual bucket lists, we've accomplished.
Okay.
Sound good?
Sounds scary.
Oh, it won't be scary. Okay, so the first is kiss a girl. Have you kissed a girl?
Yes.
Of course. Well, so have I. So there you go. Okay, number two, have anal sex.
No,
Todd, have you had anal sex?
Never, no.
Well, guess what? I have.
Okay.
Number three, have you had a threesome?
No.
No threesome. Well, I have. Two guys, one girl, me. Wait, did I have two girls? I guess it doesn't matter. They don't ask you to do that. Four, any kind of engagement in any type of group sex or orgy?
No.
Yes, I've done that. All right, so we're on a roll here for Leah Love. Number five, phone sex. Have you done phone sex, Todd?
No.
No phone sex ever?
No. I find it illogical.
Say again?
I find that illogical.
Really? Why is that?
Because it seems kind of goofy to be on a phone doing that kind of thing.
It could be, but you've never had a long-distance relationship?
Maybe, but I never did a phone sex thing.
Oh, wow. Okay. Nothing wrong with that, but that's definitely something that I've had a few long-distance relationships, and that definitely helps you through the long waits between visits. Okay, number six, masturbate. Have you ever masturbated?
Yes.
Yes, okay, me too. Number seven, have you ever used any kind of a vibrator?
No.
No? Okay, I have. Have you ever used any type of a sex toy on somebody else? Could vibrate, doesn't have to vibrate. Any other type of sex toy?
Yes.
Okay, excellent. Number nine, have you ever been tied up?
No.
No, okay, I have. Have you ever tied somebody else up?
No.
No, okay, I have. Number 11, have you ever had sex in a public space?
Gosh, it's a hard question, because I don't know.
Could be in a car parked in a lot.
Okay.
Yes, okay.
Yeah.
Number 12, have you ever been a voyeur and just watched others having sex, but live, not porn?
No.
I have. Oh, see, number 13 is sex in a car. So we're going to say that. But when I do this type of a thing at my parties, sex in a public space we include as sex in a car. Because where are you in a car? You're on the street. You're not like in a car in your house. So I'm going to say yes for you on that. Sex in a car. And me as well. Have you ever had sex at a drive-in?
No, not really. Because I made out a little bit of drive-in. But you know, I find drive-ins to be very much like the sacred place of... like a church for me.
Oh my God, that's perfect. All right. So no sex at a drive-in, just some light kissing.
Yeah, kind of.
Well, we don't have drive-ins here, so that's a no for me too. Are you a member of the Mile High Club?
No.
Sex in an airplane? No, me either. Number 16 is, have you ever had sex with a complete stranger? Like met them, had sex with them?
No.
I've never had sex with a complete stranger. Okay. Oh, actually, that's not... I think... I then had a relationship. But I did have sex with... Did I have sex with him the first night? I did. So, yeah, I guess that counts. All right, here's number 17. Have you ever had a one-night stand? Sex with someone and then never saw him again?
Nope.
I have done that. Number 18. Have you ever been married? Have you had married sex?
No.
Yeah, I have, because I'm married. Number 19, sex on a boat.
No.
No sex on a boat?
No.
Yeah, no, me either. Even the ferry. We have a ferry. When I lived on Staten Island, we used to take the ferry from Staten Island to New York. And not even on the ferry boat. Have you ever had sex in a body of water? Ocean, lake? I'll accept a pool.
Yeah, maybe a pool.
Yeah, okay, me too. 21, number 21, sexual bucket list. Light spanking.
No.
You've never spanked anybody and you've never been spanked?
Yeah, I've spanked other people. I've never been spanked.
Okay, well, light spanking. You've spanked somebody else.
Yeah.
I'm going to say yes. Me too. 22, have you ever read erotica? Like read porn or sexy stories or anything like that?
All right, I'm trying
sexy graphic novels?
No.
No?
No.
Sexy comics?
No.
Really? All right, well, I have. Have you ever, number 23 is, have you ever played strip poker or Monopoly or any type of a strip card game?
Have I ever had strip Monopoly or a card game? No.
Nope. No strip poker or anything like that?
No, I'm a nerd.
Yeah, well, I did a card game, but it's like it was a sexual card game. It wasn't like we played Rummy 500 and took our clothes off, but it just says card game. Number 24, sex in the shower.
Yes.
Yes? Okay, me too.
Number 25. Not very fun, though. It's hard.
Why not?
Because you can't move around. I'm a big guy, man. What the hell?
How tall are you?
6'4.5".
What?
Yeah.
Oh my God, my new favorite actor, Ryan Hurst, who plays Opie on Sons of Anarchy, he's 6'4" too.
There you go.
You must have been a really imposing figure on stage with your Astroroth, or whatever you were called.
Astroroth, yeah.
Well, you were 6'4"?
Yeah.
Holy mother. All right, so then maybe number 25 too isn't going to work for you. Have you ever had sex standing up against a wall, but I'm going to assume that obviously your partner was up against the wall and you were having sex with her.
Yeah.
Okay. Me too. Number 26, sex with no kissing. That's a weird one. But just no kind of love or sensuality, just hardcore farm animal banging.
Nope.
No?
No.
You've always kissed?
Yeah, you got to be like, man, what's the point?
Come on.
You got to rock it, but you got to rock it right.
All right, well, a little bit of information about Todd tonight. Excellent. Number 27. Okay, so you've had sex in the pitch darkness, pitch blackness?
Yes.
Okay, me too. And how about sex in broad daylight?
Yes.
Yes, me too. Number 29, making out with no sex long after you're no longer a virgin.
One more time.
So have you ever, like, made out with somebody? Maybe you've had sex with them before, maybe you haven't, but long after you were virgin, just making out with somebody for a long time.
Yeah.
Yeah, me too. Number 30, sex in a tent in the wilderness.
No.
Not at all? Okay.
Nope.
Yeah, no, I haven't done that either. Number 31, have you ever watched porn with your partner?
No.
I have. Have you ever watched porn alone?
No, not I guess I can't call that porn because I don't really have anything hardcore or anything. I just have like drive-in movies, like R-rated stuff.
Yeah, no, that's not porn. But you never watched like looked up porn on the internet, RedTube or anything like that?
No, I'm afraid that stuff will put kind of some kind of things on viruses down here.
Yeah, no, you don't have to download it.
Hells
not that
no.
I know from experience.
Hells no.
All right, well, that's a yes for me. Number 33. Learn to give yourself multiple orgasms. That's probably more geared toward women, because I don't think guys necessarily... I mean, I guess they could, but have you ever, like, pleasured yourself and then 5 minutes later did it again? Because I'll include that.
No.
No? Poor Todd. Oh, this might... You might not even be able to do this if you're in the middle of the country. Number 34, sex on the beach.
No.
No? Yeah, no. I don't think I've had full sex on the beach. All right. Number 35, have you ever had sex while blindfolded or blindfolding somebody else?
No.
No, I have. Number 36, have you ever used ice cubes sexually? That's an interesting one. Either
yes.
A massage. Yes. All right. Todd. Me too. All right. Last few we have here from the sexual bucket list. And the race is hot, people. It's between me and Todd. Number 37, sexual role play. So, in other words, fantasy play. Did you dress up as a doctor and your partner was the patient? Police officer pulls over. Lady tries to get out of a ticket by, going down on him. Anything like that?
No.
Never? No sexual role play?
No.
I'm going to throw this out there. You need to try that because it's really fun. Sexual role play. Even like a bar patron slut. Actually, that's real. But yes, I'm going to go with yes on that one. You want to hear a funny story, though? I got a breast exam once, and I thought I was going to be smart stealing one of the gowns because I thought, oh, with my boyfriend at the time, he'll be the doctor, and I'll have on a gown and be the patient. And then when we were getting ready to do it, I totally didn't realize that the gown, quote-unquote, was literally a shirt and not a full gown because it was only for a breast exam.
So,
you're an idiot. All I had was this like little, like it looked like a half shirt. It was terrible and was not going to fulfill the fantasy role play, unfortunately, of Dr. Patient. So that was number 37. Number 38, have you ever used whipped cream during foreplay or sex?
Yes.
All right. That's a no for me, though. I'm not a big fan of the 9.5 weeks food sexual fetish. So that's the only one so far, Todd, that you have done that I have not. The only one. Number 39. This has a specific type of lingerie, but I'm just going to say sex with somebody in lingerie, like stripper lingerie, high heels, things like that.
Hmm.
That's good, right?
I guess.
Yes or no? You don't, you're thinking?
I guess. I don't know.
All right. I don't know. So I'm going to take that as a no, but I'm going to say yes. I've had some really hot sex and really nice lingerie. Oh, here's...
I've never worn lingerie.
You've never worn it?
No.
Yes. Well, have you had sex with somebody who has it?
Yes.
Who is wearing it?
Yes.
Okay. All right, last five, and then I think we're going to take a break. Number 41, have you ever had sex with somebody much older than you?
Not really, I guess. Mm-mm.
No, not me either so much. Number 42, sex with somebody younger but legal?
Yes.
All right. Actually, me, yes. All right, so that's... Number 43, have you ever had sex in a foreign country, possibly with a foreigner?
No.
Never?
No.
All right. Well, actually, me either. That's not so difficult. That wasn't a difficult one for me to think about, because I've really only been to Mexico. Wait, did I have sex with a Mexican? No, I don't think I did. So that would be a no. Oh, and I was in Jamaica. No. Okay, number 44. A quickie in... Well, that we're not going to do that. You've had a quickie. We already talked about that. Oh, have you ever had sex in the rain?
Yes.
Yeah, me too. Sex in the ocean while people are swimming all around you?
No.
Yeah, no, me either. That's good. I got to put that one on the list, though. I think definitely. Let's see. I'm going to edit a few through these because some of them are dumb. Oh, sex while you're completely drunk or high?
No. I don't drink or I don't drink, and I don't, especially never done a drug in my life.
Really? Actually, I haven't. I did back when I was in high school, but not really anymore. So I'm going to have to say no because I did not have any sex in high school. Oh, here we go. I'm going to do the last one. Silent sex in a full house, in a house full of people.
Probably.
Yeah? All right. So here's what we're going to do, ladies. Back in the day. Here's what we're going to do, ladies and gentlemen. I'm going to tally these up. We're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to have our guest tonight. Tonight, our topic is going to be swinging in a marriage. So give us a couple of minutes, and we'll be back shortly.
Got a feeling that tonight's gonna be a good night. That tonight's gonna be a good night. That tonight's gonna be a good, good night. A feeling that tonight's gonna be a good night. That tonight's gonna be a good night. That tonight's gonna be a good, good night.
Listen to radio station. Jackalope Radio.
Well, hello, cats and kittens. We're back. This is Leah Love on Erotic Rhetoric. And if you were listening very closely, you would have heard me read off the sexual bucket list and I just tallied up how many of these sexual acts on the bucket list that Todd has done and how many yours truly, Leah Love, has done. And they range from kissing a girl, to masturbating, to being in the Mile High Club, to having sex with somebody much older than you, blah, blah, blah. So there were, I think, 47 on the list that I mentioned. And Todd, you stand at 14.
I'm sure. I'm not very out of 46. It's a miracle I have that many.
Well, take a guess how many I have.
39.
Oh, that was so close. 34. From the sexual bucket list.
There you go.
So I wouldn't say I win. I'm the slut. Yay! Well, thanks for playing along with that, Todd.
You're welcome.
So now we have a couple of special guests that I would like to introduce. But first I want to ask this. Todd, have you ever swung in a relationship? Do you know what that means?
Yes and no.
I didn't think so. Because you know what? I should have put that on the bucket list. In any case, I would like to welcome my guests, Mr. and Mrs. F. Haha. They are a married couple who swing, and this means that they sexually swap partners with another couple or couples in a somewhat controlled environment during, say, scheduled get-togethers. So welcome to Erotic Rhetoric, Mr. and Mrs. F.
Hi there.
Hi.
Hello.
How are you guys doing on this hot evening?
We're doing all right. We're feeling sexy. We're thinking about your bucket list and trying to figure out what you have and what you haven't done.
Oh, well, I'll send you the results if you want. We could talk about that another time. I'm just pleased that it's 34 for crying out loud.
For the love of corn.
For the love of corn. I could have very well been at 11, but anyway. So, all right. So let's talk about you guys. First of all, a couple of preliminary things. How long have you guys been together and married?
Well, we've been together for 17 years. Of those 17 years, we've been married for what, honey?
Eight.
For 8 of those 17 years, we've been married.
That's a long time to be together.
Yes. Oh, yes.
Now, yeah, did you guys...
It works, you know?
Oh, absolutely. And may I just say, I know firsthand that it works, and congratulations to you guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So tell me, did you guys swing before you actually got married?
Yeah, actually, we were house-sitting down when the internet was just first getting popular, and AOL was the big rage, and we were house-sitting over a friend's house and discovered chat rooms, and I don't know, we just had a couple of long conversations and decided to check it out. You know, we had some pretty funny experiences that came from being in those chat rooms.
Oh, okay, so the chat rooms, that the conversation turned around to swinging, and people were asking you if you swung, and you were like, no, and then they were like, well, you should?
sort of.
I guess we just got into chat rooms, and
there's a lot of dirty talk in those chat rooms at the time. So that was what it was about. A lot of dirty talk.
We started dirty talking with people on the computer, and then one couple actually asked us if we wanted to meet up and just have dinner with them. And this was in the days before people traded pictures. So we just got their descriptions and said, okay, well, what the heck? Let's go down there and have dinner with them. And when we drove all the way down to South Jersey, met up with them at a restaurant, and they looked nothing like what we expected.
Hello?
For them to look, we had built up this image in our head as descriptions. Hello? Can you hear me? Hello?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Oh, all right.
Todd, can you hear them? Because I just lost them for a second.
Yeah, they just went away for a second. It's a Skype thing, but they're back.
All right, hi. So I don't know what you heard, but we went out to meet a couple without seeing their pictures, and we were not prepared for what they looked like.
bad or good?
Bad. Yeah, it looked pretty bad. I mean, they were not that they were bad looking. It was just we had a mental image as to what they would look like, and when we showed up, they looked like nothing that we were attracted to. But we decided to stick it out and have dinner with them. And
so suffice it to say, you didn't start swinging that night, then, correct? Yeah.
Actually, we did. Well, what happened was we had dinner with them, and they asked us if, you know, like throughout dinner, we noticed that they were really loving toward one another. So that kind of got us going, and we ended up sharing a hotel room with them, but it didn't go the way that we expected it to go. So
no,
that kind of set us back in the swinging thing.
It set you back. So it didn't happen the way you thought it was in terms of being attracted to your first couple, say.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Like, we went in there thinking that we would just watch them and they would watch us because they were really nice. And they kind of just jumped on top of us. And we didn't know how to say no back then. We didn't have the proper tools. So it kind of scared us away from swinging. But then we...
Oh, my God. Really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Wow.
And then we ended up going to a... after a long time passed, we decided to revisit the topic and went to a swing club and just took our time and just watched, and we went to a seminar and learned a little bit more about the rules and etiquette of swinging, and that kind of helped us ease into the lifestyle.
Yeah. Oh, okay. So how much longer after that first experience did you attend the swing club and kind of get into the life a little bit more? Was it like years or months?
Yeah,
or?
It was like a year later, we went to the swing club, and then they had something called the New Couple Seminar, and they actually talked about rules and about code words, and, you know, like, they kind of helped us learn how to swing. But for the longest time, we would go to the swing club and just watch. We wouldn't participate. We would go and watch, and that was really a big turn on for us. And it took us a span of, like, 5 years to actually move into full swap.
Yeah.
All right. So now, I was doing a little bit of research on the life, and a topic that came up a couple of times was the definition, or the difference, I should say, between recreational or utopian swinging. So, do you consider yourselves one or the other, or a mixture of both? How would you define the difference?
All right. Well, you know, the term utopian swinger, we haven't encountered, but I pretty much know what it means. We consider ourselves to be more of a recreational type of thing. For us, this is just a fun thing that we do as a couple. And we go out, let's say, on a Friday night or a Saturday night, and we want to meet up with people and mess around. Like, we're not looking to create some sort of, like, commune or live-in type of situation with another couple. We kind of like to keep our distance from
other people.
As far as, you know, our relationship is concerned. We would never want to open up our relationship to other people. We just, you know, the physical aspect of it is good enough for us.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And that is exactly how they define that. Recreational was just kind of on a time-by-time basis, you know, and then utopian was just kind of like that, kind of living that lifestyle 24/7. You know what I'm saying?
We really like us being just she and I, and if you add other people into the relationship, like, we know people who have had multiple relationships, and, you know, if it works for them, great for them, but for us, it just wouldn't work. We are too into one another to want to share our heart with other people.
Oh, okay. All right, gotcha. So what do you think is the biggest or a big misconception about swinging and the swinging lifestyle?
That we all dress in 70s clothing.
Not a key party, is that what you're saying?
No, we've never actually done anything like that, like where you just toss your keys into a fishbowl and pick out randomly. No, tracing.
Mrs. F? You mean Mrs. F?
I meant tracing the path of our relationship. We have never encountered that. No, the other misconception is that, you know, there's not a lot of actual swinging that is involved. I mean, there is swapping, but we haven't really encountered a lot of swinging. You know what I mean?
Oh, okay. So no, absolutely.
It's being silly, sorry.
That's interesting that it's still called swinging, though, but it's technically swapping. That's interesting.
Yeah, it's really swapping, because really the swinging is just not... I mean, you can be a swinger and, like, a free love kind of mentality and go out and party all the time, but it seems that a lot of the swingers, especially as you get into the older swingers, are more about just meeting up for dinner or drinks and going back to their house and relax. You know what I mean? It's not very of a limit... Libertarian kind of feel to it, you know.
Well, also the term swinging always makes me feel like when I hear the term swinging or swinger, I'm always thinking of like some guy in a leisure suit, you know, with a cigarette, you know, being like, "Hey, baby," like that thing. So,
well, I think that's the biggest misconception, is that people think that swinging is done by only, you know, older couples, and that it's stuck in the 70s. But if you go on any swinger sites, you see there's a lot of young couples, especially we've noticed a lot 21 and 22 year olds that are getting into it. And, you know, for us, it took us a long time to know each other to get to that point. For some of these young couples, it just seems that they're going into it really fast. But, you know, if it works for them, whatever works for them.
Okay. All right. Well, that brings up something interesting, at least for me, because one of what's a question that came up for me is about jealousy, like how you said you don't want to share your heart with anybody else. Mm-hmm. But has there ever been a time, and how did you handle the problem if somebody else that you swapped with, if there was a jealousy issue, or perhaps with you guys, especially I would assume in the beginning, because you obviously moved past if there were any problems, but I'm just curious, were there, like, what in the beginning were you kind of like, oh, like if you saw that, you know, Mrs. F was swapping with somebody, or she saw you or whatever, or the other couple was kind of like, oh, hey, whoa, you know, like.
Well, we have been in situations. Well, I'm sorry, do you want to?
In the very beginning, when we were just watching, I didn't want anybody touching him. And it was hard for me because at the time there were some friendly women that we would run into.
Friendly.
And I just definitely had a really hard time with them getting anywhere near him. So it took a long time for me to get comfortable with it.
Right.
And for me, I come from a different background, so I'm not a very jealous person when it comes to sex, but I am a very jealous person when it comes to feelings and emotions. And okay. We were in a situation where we had met we play by definite rules where we play together, we stick together. You know, there's a lot of rules that we have that we'll discuss later, but we met a couple that did not play by the same rules. And there was a situation where the guy was trying to kind of hang out with Mrs. F on his own, and I didn't really that actually made me feel jealous. How he handled it was, we kind of just said, well, let's include your partner in this, and he backed off after that. So we don't really let ourselves get too attached.
On a one-on-one basis
right. With other people. We would rather do it as a couple and just keep it light and very, you know, fun, but nothing too deep, you know?
Sure. And that sounded like a good way to handle it. Like, instead of being like, hey, ho, what are you doing? You kind of were like, all right, well, this is cool, but how about your partner? Like,
yeah,
that seems like a good way to handle it. So yeah, in saying that, he obviously broke some ground rules. So what would you say? You did say we could talk about rules later. So what are your ground rules, and do they usually differ from the other couples, or you kind of all have to be on the same page? Like, do you discuss it beforehand? Like, how does that work? What are your rules, and how do you lay them on the line?
Okay, well, Mrs. F and I both like playing together in the same room. That's definitely one of the biggest rules. The other rule is we both have to be physically attracted to the other people. In other words, she would never be with a guy that she is not into just so that I can be with the girl, or vice versa. We just don't do that. We don't take one for the team, is that's what they call it. We don't ever do that.
Okay, so you both have to be, Mrs. F has to be attracted to the partner, and you know, you have to also be attracted to the other person in that couple. Right?
Yes. Because otherwise, then what's the point? If I can't have a good time knowing that she's going to be doing something that she doesn't want to do, and she feels the same way. We would never want to put each other in that situation. So that's
interesting. Interesting, right? That you both took one for the team on that first night.
I actually had to fake an orgasm. It was great.
Oh my god.
You know what? We're gonna have to have a whole episode dedicated to men faking orgasm. And we'll have to bring you back on, Mr. F.
I've done it more than once, trust me.
Excellent.
Anyway, so that's our rules, is being together, both being into the people. But there's other couples that don't play by those rules. They have their own rules. And right. they separate, or they have other rules in which they could do whatever they want and then just discuss it later. And, you know, whatever works for people then works for them. For Mrs. F and I, our rules, and they might seem rigid to other people, but for us, it just makes perfect sense and it keeps us happy. But, you know, one of the drawbacks of having to agree on the couple is that there's not a lot of couples that we do agree on, so we spend a lot of time searching but not a lot of time swapping. You know what I mean?
Yes, I gotcha. Okay. All right, so this obviously, by the nature of the fact that you swing, I would say that you're sexually adventurous, but I was just curious, once you're swapping, is it pretty straightforward in terms of sex? Like, you're having sex with one part of the one, you know, as one person in the couple, and Mrs. F is having sex with the other, but are there fetishes, like, you know, like within that or your particular swing community or whatever? Like, is there anything else going on there? Or is it pretty much just like, hey, we're just swapping partners and here we go?
Well, all right. For the majority of our swinging experience, it has been pretty much just vanilla. What we do is we call it vanilla, which
right.
means it's just like straightforward swinging without any real fetishes or kinky stuff. However, for the past, I say, year or 2 years, we've been opening up to more other exotic type of ideas. We We've experimented with role playing with other couples. We've experimented with light bondage. I mean, just fun things that if they're into and we're into, then we'll just explore it. That usually comes about though after we have like played at least once or twice.
Right, with that particular couple.
Yeah, with
right.
that particular couple, and right. then the conversation will come up like, "Oh, so what else are you guys into, or what really turns you guys on?" So that it's. But for the most part, when you first are getting into swinging, it's usually just pretty much just sex. You know, you add the flourishes later on as you get more experienced in the lifestyle. I would say.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, did you want to say something, Mrs. F?
Or unless you're only about the BDSM, if that's like your scene and you're out looking for people that are into that, then yes, that'll be what you find if that's what you're looking for. Like, we're just looking to meet people that are into swinging. We're not into necessarily just focused on one type of fetish or anything like that.
But there is a huge community of swingers that swing only with people that are into the same fetishes that they're into. There's websites that are dedicated for swingers to find other people that are into the same kinky stuff that they're into. So, you know, we can't speak for all swingers. Just it's for our experience, it started off as vanilla, and now it's getting a little bit more open.
Okay, well, that makes sense though.
Yeah.
And you kind of touched on the one guy who kind of broke one of your rules and was trying to get with Mrs. F outside of him. Outside of you, in other words. But are there some other like red flags for you guys when you swing, like when you meet a new couple, and what do you do? Like, for instance, in that scenario, he was getting out of hand with Mrs. F and kind of, you know, inching toward just having her. Do you discuss it? You handled that, I think, perfectly. But is that common? And how do you handle that, you know, when it comes up? Or if a red flag happens, are you just like, forget it, it's done, we're done? Or do you try to make it work, especially if you're both attracted to them, but maybe there's that one thing that happens and you're like, ooh,
Yeah, yeah.
Well,
go ahead.
For us, when we meet couples, usually we try to see if they have chemistry with each other, because mm-hmm. it's good to see a couple that is loving and happy with each other, as opposed to a couple who just argues with each other the whole time, or maybe one acts interested, the other one doesn't. Like, things like that kind of are red flags to us, and we'll usually walk away from the situation if we see something like that.
We have been in situations where we have gone out to dinner with a couple, and you can tell that the couple absolutely hates each other. They sit there and pick on each other. And for us, that's a huge, like, no, that's a huge turnoff. And the other thing is when you could tell that one of them, like, as Mrs. F said, that one of them is like really into, all right, let's do this. And his partner or her partner is kind of just like, I don't know, you know. So that's a red flag for us. We like all of us to be on the same page. And the other red flag is if the people are too pushy. There's something else that rubs me the wrong way when I meet with a couple, when the guy is really a type A type of personality where he just wants to take control. And that, for us, is a turnoff because, I mean, if they're taking control at the dinner table, just imagine what it would be like when you're swinging. You know what I mean? I don't want to see Mrs. F get her ass beat, you know?
Okay, no, that makes total sense. And actually, my next question was kind of going to be like, what's the best case scenario for healthy swinging? But you just kind of described it by talking about some of the red flags. So a best case scenario for you is, you're both attracted to the people. They seem to be in a happy, loving relationship, and it looks as if they are in agreement. They both want to swing. It's not one person pushing the other person, and the other person is just kind of along for the ride. Okay, well, that makes sense.
There is one more red flag that I just want to point out, and that's something else, is that there's also, we get contacted by couples that aren't really couples. They're both married to other people, and they're kind of cheating, and they're looking for other people to play with them. We've had several of those contact us, and we never mess around with people that are in cheating or are in a deceitful type of relationship, because that's not the kind of energy that we want to be, that we want to have near us. So we stay away from those people too. As soon as a couple says that they're F buddies, but they're not married, or they're married to other people, we back off.
So they'll usually be forthcoming. They'll say, listen, this is our situation.
Yeah.
Well, some of them do. Some of them wait until you're out with them at dinner, and then you find out.
Oh, okay. All right, so I would consider that a downside for swinging. I was going to say, what have been some of the downsides? You've kind of answered them a little bit, but that's a good example. You put effort and time into trying to find this couple. Everything points to that it's good. You have the dinner. You're all getting along, and then they drop the bomb that they're basically F buddies.
Yep. Yeah. And, you know, one of the biggest downsides of swinging, especially for us, is the amount of energy and time that we waste trying to find people that we are attracted to. Like, it would be great to find a couple of really good couples that we all get along and we all understand one another, and that way we can just don't have to waste hours trying to find them when we can just get together and play. But but one of the downsides for us is just we don't have that yet, so we keep trying and trying, and you know, after a while it just gets a little bit tiring because you just kind of get tired and lose interest and whatever.
It becomes more of a social thing and less of a physical thing.
Yeah, it becomes more of a just, you know, all right, so let's try to at least get together and do something, like to meet people, and instead of the whole point of doing it was so we can just be physical with another couple, and that happens less and less as more time is spent trying to find people to socialize with.
Absolutely. Okay. Now, how has it affected your marriage, both good and bad? I mean, has it had really positive effects and a couple of bad? I mean, obviously you continue to do it. You seem like a very loving together couple, so I'm sure it's not that many bad things. But is it can you say that there are good and bad aspects to it both?
Yeah, I mean, for our marriage, it has given us something. Well, first of all, it's brought us together because when we meet other people, it becomes like an us versus them kind of thing. So it kind of brings us closer as a couple because we get to talk about who we think is cute and who we like and what we did and what, you know, like it kind of opens up our communication a lot more. We're a lot more honest with each other about what turns us on. And and it ensures that we never cheat because, I mean, why would we ever want to cheat? Like Mrs. F and I both are very honest about what we want, and we try to cater to what we want. You know what I mean? Whereas other couples, they can't be honest about wanting to do this or do that, so they have to go behind their partner's back and cheat. So it's been a positive thing for our marriage.
Okay.
As far as negatives, what would the negative be? Would you say? Any idea?
The only negative is that it's hard to find two people that we both are attracted to at the same time.
I mean, it's hard enough for two people to find each other and be attracted to one another. Now, just imagine multiplying that.
Absolutely.
Four people that have to get along and be turned on by one another. You know what I mean? And it's just hard. It's just very hard.
I gotcha. Okay, so do you guys think you'll remain in this swinging community for the length of your marriage? Like, is that, like, do you look forward into the future and go, this is part of our marriage, and we've made it work, and it's going to be remain a part of our relationship?
Well, we don't like to say anything is forever, so we like to think of our relationship as evolving, constantly evolving.
Right.
So we haven't made that decision that this is always going to be a part of our lives.
Yeah.
It's just for now and for as long as we enjoy it.
Yeah, as long as it's fun and it keeps us happy and together and talking, then it's okay. As soon as it becomes too much of a hassle, I mean, you know, we already have partners that we really enjoy having sex with, which is ourselves. So
right.
All that is just gravy. Plus, as you get older, too, you know, the I think swinging has a shelf life. You got to be young and beautiful. And, you know, as you get older, it's just, I don't know.
Well, it'll be a lot of kind of, you know, wrinkled skin and gray hair, you know.
It's just like we are attracted to certain things, and as you get older, those certain things just get a little bit harder and harder to find, you know?
Yeah, sure, and especially if it's just physical. It's different when you're married and you grow old together and you get old together.
Yeah, it's not, you know, it's like we don't mind older people whatsoever. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying it's just I don't know.
It's a young, like, hot thing right now.
Yeah, it's a young, hot thing, and a lot of the couples right now are in their 20s. And couples in their 20s, if you look at their profile, it says that they're only interested in people from 19 to 35 or to whatever. But 40 is usually the cutoff age for couples. You know what I mean? It seems to be. So who knows? Okay. As of right now, we're just taking it a day at a time, and as long as it's fun and it keeps us happy, we're okay.
I gotcha. So tell me, if somebody was interested in swinging, how would you recommend they pursue it? Chat rooms again? Or like, is it different now? Like, how does that happen?
No chat rooms. I would say, really, without a doubt, go to a swing club.
Go to the website of the swing club.
Yeah, go to the swing club website, find out what goes on, what they're about, how much it costs to go, and just go. Because there is no... there's no pressure to ever do anything. Like, you can, like, most people think they're going to a swing club and they're going to get attacked. That's not it at all. 99% of the swing clubs that we have gone to, most people are fully dressed, hanging out at the bar, socializing, dancing. It's like going out to a club, except this club has a portion, some of them do, have a portion of their establishment that's set aside with, like, with theme rooms and beds, and you know, it's like it's a good way to get your feet wet, and it's a good way to socialize and talk to people and get over the fear of what swinging is about, you know, because it's not just, you know, you go in a dark room and just meet somebody and have sex. You go and you connect with people. You meet people that have the same interests that you do, and if those interests match and you guys gel and you click, it can lead to a whole evening of fun.
Well, thank you so much, Mr. and Mrs. F. This was quite enlightening, I must say.
You're welcome. Really,
it was very. I would like to have you guys back on, perhaps this subject, perhaps another.
Topics to talk about.
and I think absolutely. And I think that I'm going to check in with Mr. Sheets, Mr. Todd Sheets. Do you feel that swinging is now something you can do?
No, ma'am.
There's always room for jackalopes out there.
Hey, man, there's a song by Iron Maiden called Run to the Hills, and yeah, that one.
Todd will be doing that shortly.
Yes.
Todd, time check for me.
You're about out.
Across the sea.
That's it.
That's it, man. I'm a huge Maiden fan.
Good. Their new video comes out in March. You'll have to grab it.
All right, cool.
Todd, how much time we got?
You're about out.
Oh, okay, great. Well, listen, I want to thank Mr. and Mrs. F for coming on my show. I like to end my show with sex in the news, but I have a few articles we'll save for next time. And, of course, I always like to thank my producer, Todd Sheets, who is a wonderful sport. And until next week, this is Leah Love wishing you all a good night and good sex.